And good morning on this Monday, live from the KGGF studios. I'm Sam Speck, as we are joined live in studio with City Administrator Fred Gress, as well as City Caney of City Mayor Thomas Burke. My goodness, before I roll over, enough of this. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Sam.
Welcome back in here, as this will be our final meeting before we get up to Christmas time. So I'm very excited for Christmas to be in with that. And it sounds real quick before we dive into a very, you know, eventful agenda that we have tonight for tonight's meeting. Real quick, we'll just kind of continue that conversation. You're staying here locally for the Christmas time. I know you're going to be doing plenty of feasting with the ham, turkey, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Haven't stopped since Thanksgiving. Going to keep right on going through Christmas.
You got family coming into town or?
No.
Just sticking with it. Good stuff. Around, Fred, so. You staying down in downtown?
No, we'll go to my sister-in-law's house up in Independence.
Oh, great stuff.
Everybody will kind of come together there for a while.
Gotta love that. It's always an eventful, whether it's negative or positive, when about 15, 20 family members meet up all at the aunt's or sister's house, whatever it may be. So, again, have a very good happy holidays for you two as well. So, real quick, let's dive right into it. Lots going on the agenda there. I don't know if you guys wanted to give a brief overview or if you just wanted to kind of dive straight into the things that you've got. Fred, just go ahead and take us off.
You know, the agenda's the same typical agenda. I mean, we start off with we got to pay bills. That's unfortunately every
Pretty
time
standard.
We do. And then we also provide the elected officials copies of the treasury report, expenditure reports, and because they're fiscally responsible for it. So, you know, and we can't stress that enough every time we talk, because, you know, you don't have to look too far away to see that someone's been trying to get sticky fingers, and council folks are responsible for the fiscal condition of a city. So that's why we give them details, and we certainly encourage them to look at the details, and if they have a question, all they got to do is ask. As far as that goes, that's true of the city's citizens as well. They can come in and ask, and we'll be happy to open the books.
Yeah, you got to appreciate the transparency as well.
So. Oh, we do. And we're finally getting started on condemnations, the removal of some really bad structures. We could do this every time, unfortunately, but money does limit that. But we have four structures on for consideration for condemnation tonight. These have been around for a long time. In fact, some of them have probably been condemned in years past, but the process was never followed through with. So that will happen, and so we'll deal with those. And then we year end, we usually end up our budget. You know, you do budget 6 months ahead of when it comes into place, so your crystal ball isn't always quite as clear as you want it to be, and we do have a few funds that we're going to ask the council to amend, simply because we did more this in 2018 than we thought we were going to be able to achieve, and so we need to take a look at modifying authority. In Kansas is a cash basis state, so you have to have budget authority to expend, and you also have to have the revenues before you can do any expenditure. So these are just modifications to the operating funds in various funds. One is the water utility, and we've made so many improvements at the water treatment plant this year that we had to extend our budget authority to be able to do that. So, but it's all for the good. The plant is running exceptionally well, and we're going to start turning our attention to the water distribution system, which is in need of a lot of improvements. So,
certainly. And when you guys are kind of, you know, basing for, like, the crystal ball you had mentioned, does the city kind of, not necessarily bump up the numbers, but overcasts a certain figure, because then if you don't hit that at the end of the year, then you've got revenue, or not necessarily revenue, but leftover money that you don't have to use. Does the city on average usually look a little bit higher in terms of figures on those forecasts?
The most critical part of any operating budget, except for a capital budget, is the estimate for payroll, payroll taxes, health insurance. Health insurance will drive that little larger than real life look, because unfortunately our health insurance has to renew in the middle of fiscal period, so it impacts two fiscal periods. So in 2019 we anticipated that we could have a double-digit health insurance premium increase. So one could argue that, hey, you artificially inflated your bottom line expenditures. Well, yes, but no, because you have to have. And going through the amendment process is not that difficult a process, but I would love to be able to do it without one amendment at all. But then I would be artificially inflating things, because then you're going to have to think about all the possible things you could be doing within reason. So, and then you're going to inflate that fiscal period budget. And I would prefer to list that as a potential capital item, but not necessarily fund it, but let the elected officials say, hey, we're only going to authorize this much for this year, with the exception of changes that we'll consider during the year.
Yeah.
And as long as you have that revenue, not property tax revenue increase, but as long as you have that extra revenue, you can make those amendments during the year. So
that's a good point.
I don't think it's smart budget to overestimate expenditures just for the sake of not doing an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important to go to them during the year and say, hey, it would appear we're going to be in a good cash position. Do you want to go ahead and do this project this year? And in fact, tonight, some of the rationale behind these budget amendments is basically that. And I'll use Wark Park as an example. We need to make some modifications to the bathroom facility there. But we didn't anticipate that when we set the 2018 budget. So we'll come back to them, and we believe we're going to have the unencumbered cash. We just simply need the budget authority to do it. So we'll ask them for that, and we'll move forward. But you have to end the year in a positive cash basis, Sam, because we don't get our first tax distribution until the end of January. And so we either live on unencumbered cash carryover or non-property tax revenue coming in. Well, unfortunately, if you look at the revenue stream, most all of them come in towards the end of the month. So you have to have cash to be able to make it until you get that first infusion of county money.
Yeah, I'm sure. And a great point that you make after a question I'm sure a lot of our listeners have as well, because it's almost like a safeguard the way that you do it, because you don't want to artificially inflate the budget, as you had mentioned. But at the same time, you know, there are certain areas where the funds need to be used, and to kind of that safeguard that you had mentioned. Now, back to the kind of digressing just a little bit, backtracking to the condemnation thing. Is that the first process into like a demolition as well, and then kind of further and uplifting that property?
Well, the first step is you go out and you do an evaluation of the property. And, mm-hmm. and we have a very simple mathematical formula that we use that assigns points to certain deficiencies in a structure, and you add them all together, and if it gets above, I believe the number is 75 points, then you recommend it for condemnation, removal.
Mm-hmm.
All this time you're trying to work with the property owner, but I think in every one of these we have had no contact from any of the owners. You have out-of-state owners, out-of-county owners, and then you have owners that just really don't care. And so you're trying to deal with those all the time. So it forces you to spend extra money, because all your communication has to be through certified mail, so that you have proof that you did, in fact, try and notify that property owner that, hey, we're going to be knocking your building down because you're not taking care of it.
Yep.
And if you want to come in and talk to us about it and figure out a plan of action, we'll ask the council to extend the condemnation. But I'm going to recommend that we go ahead and condemn, because I got to have a thumb. You know, if I don't have a thumb on them, they won't follow through with their suggested process. So.
Very true. Yeah, just kind of an encouragement rather to the owner to either turn it around, sell it, do something with the property, or, you know, just turn it over at that point. Yeah. and get the property looking better, because Caney, a town that's looking to grow, I'm sure. You know, condemned buildings, businesses, things like that aren't the prettiest thing to have around the town. So, you know, definitely a step in the right direction to get those out of there.
Well,
it's just the process of contacting is difficult.
Absolutely right, Sam. And I know the Caney Betterment Group, they've signed on with the blessings of the City Council to do a program called First Impressions. It's through the Kansas Pride Program. And what's going to happen is those folks are going to pair Caney up with a town similar to Caney. And they'll send a group of people to Caney unannounced just to look at Caney, look at the retail opportunities, look at the structures, and look at the housing conditions and the schools and that kind of thing. And then Caney will reciprocate and send a group to their town. Well, we can all anticipate that we're going to get pretty poor marks when it comes to overall housing stock evaluation, because we do have a lot of structures that are in need. We have a lot of vacant structures. And they draw your community down. They truly do. And, you know, if you try and hire someone new, and, you know, like police officers and dispatchers, they have to live inside the city limits because of the response time. That will never change. But I can tell you right now, it is difficult to find a place to live that is acceptable at a reasonable price. At a reasonable price means at a reasonable price to you, not necessarily what the market really is. So, but it has ramifications all the way through the community.
Yeah. And again, people just, they don't realize it. It's either a property there or it's not there anymore. And it was a long process to get there. And like you had mentioned, a lot of ramifications behind it as well.
Right.
So,
right. The next, we've already talked about the condemnations. We've talked about the amending the 2018 budget. The next item is a cleanup action. Every year you have to consider issuing cereal malt beverage licenses. And this year is no exception. We have four entities that have applied for next year's beer license. They'll consider them, and their options are one to either reject or renew. So that's a council item. The next one is kind of an exciting one because we're asking permission tonight to cut a down payment check for the building that we hope to convert into a grocery store. Big step, huge step for the city of Caney. I think a very important step because, you know, we talked about recruiting people. You know, you talk with someone that you'd really like to hire, and one of their questions is, well, where do I shop for groceries? Well, it's a 20-mile rule here, folks. You know, you go to Independence, you go to Coffeyville, you go to Bartlesville, you go to Sedan. You can stop in Dewey, but we don't have a grocery store. It's a huge negative. The comments I've had is, well, you'll be too expensive for us. And my response is, no, we won't. If we move forward with this, and it's a city-owned and operated store, the only thing we have to do is keep ourselves out of the red. So we don't have to make large margins on anything to cover overhead. Yeah, we'll pay property taxes on the building, but that'll be figured into the cost. But we believe that a grocery store will be a huge positive for the future of Caney. We believe that it will spin off other retail opportunities for the city of Caney and its citizens. And we believe that it's got to come, or Caney may be looking to continue to slide, because that's a big issue. My wife and I live in Caney now. We have for several weeks, 2 months, 3 months. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem like a drag to have to pick up and run to Coffeyville or run to Independence or Bartlesville to shop. But it's so unnecessary, and plus we're losing the sales tax. You know, every dime spent out across that state line goes somewhere else. Doesn't come into the city coffers. So it's a critical issue. And if someone's out there that's really upset about it, and you know, my door's always open. We got council meeting tonight that we're going to talk about it. Show up. Just don't sit in your living room chair and do all the griping. Come and share your concerns and see if we can't answer the questions appropriately for you. But it's a critical issue for the future of Caney.
Yeah, and I think, again, your casual listener doesn't realize the difference between the full city-owned grocery store as well, because you're right, that you don't have to, you know, you don't owe as many entities as you might comparatively. You just have to stay in the green, whether it's $5, $500, as long as it's not down in that red. You guys will have the functioning grocery store.
There you go. There you go.
Good stuff.
Next item is another cleanup item, really. We've had some vacancies on the Caney Library. The library board now has two applications for the council to consider. They need to fill two seats, so if the council finds that these folks are appropriate and vote to approve them, then we'll get the library back to full staff and running right. Far as the board goes, so but Sam, there's other exciting news on the horizon too. Most of them don't take formal action on the part of the council, but tonight we're going to spend some time talking about those water plant improvements that we've just recently made that I think will bring some excitement and hopefully some understanding for the citizens that we are, in fact, making good large steps towards fixing things. We've been concentrating on the water plant, and like I said, we're getting ready to, we'll be presenting next month a detailed proposal on how we're going to approach getting water lines replaced, because that too is part of the water quality issue that we have to fight. We have successfully maneuvered using our SCADA person, which is a electrical software engineer that wrote the computer system that runs the water plant. He came in and spent Thursday through Monday night of the next week, and we rewired, replaced all kinds of controls. And this man is just so much fun to watch, because he can take a look at the schematic and look at the real thing and know what needs to be fixed. I mean, I walked in one morning and it looked like a pile of spaghetti on the floor. And I know my first words were, "My God, please tell me this is going back together." And oh boy, did it. We are so much more efficient right now. And he has an eye to everything. We've reduced the amount of chemicals we have to use, which was a big goal for us. And when we get done with the next trip he makes, we'll be able to start reducing the amount of electricity we're buying, which is huge. You know, we've been averaging over $100,000 a year for chemicals just to add into the water to make things work right. And that probably not a lot of money compared to big cities, but that's a lot of money for Caney. And so by being able to let the system work better and more efficiently like it was originally designed, we believe we're going to be able to see substantial savings. So great deal. It's a great deal.
Yeah, that is very exciting. Again, it's, you know, a figure that pops up on the taxes, and I'm sure pops up in your guys' face all year long. And people, it's water. I should be able to go to the faucet and turn it on, but it's a process to get it there, as well as get it there within the ordinances, because, you know, you had mentioned there's with water, there's a lot of tests that need to be passed. Yeah. I mean, you guys are pretty well constricted when it comes to distributing water, and it's not just as easy as turning on the faucet.
No, it isn't, and that's a good segue into the next subject, which is wastewater. Because most people think when they flush a stool, it's over with. Well, our job is just beginning, and the expenses are just beginning. And last week we had our pre-bid conference for phase one of the sewer improvements, which is $500,000 worth of improvements at the wastewater plant and also the east and south lift stations. These are critical to the sustainability of our sewer system. We do have some court orders that are in place that we need to address sooner rather than later. And that process is now started on the plant process. And then we will get bids on January the 16th to complete that work. And then sometime next spring, early summer, we hope to repeat the process with a pre-bid on $3.1 million worth of work on the sewer collection system and manholes. So once we get that project done, the Caney sewer system will be pretty much sustainable with proper maintenance, which is something that has been severely lacking for many, many years, and it won't be avoided from this point forward. So there's some exciting things going on. You got to look under the ground surface to see them, but and hopefully with all the work we're going to be doing, when you flush the stool, you'll think about, there's more to this than just flushing the stool, because boy is there.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those nonsensical things. People, you know, whether it's coming out of the faucet or going down the stool, it's yeah. I don't have to think about it now that the faucet's turned off, right? No, nope. But the city just begins. So.
Yeah, it. We could talk all day long on the bureaucratic requirements that we face, and we do every day. Yeah. So, one other thing I want to extend a little bit on the code enforcement, which is the condemnation, but we have another round coming too, because staff has been sending out letters to folks that have structures that are going to be eligible for condemnation if we don't do something quickly. And two or three of those are garages that are simply falling down around town. And we've sent out preliminary letters, you know, identifying the problems and asking them to become responsible property owners and fix this before we have to go through the next step, which is condemnation. And condemnation adds a lot of money. The problem with it is when we condemn, we'll take those expenses and assess them against the property, and they're not paying their taxes anyway. So it's money out of the city coffers that we could use somewhere else more efficiently. So, but we have five letters out now to property owners that need to come in and establish a timeline so that we can avoid the condemnation. And then one other item that might drive some excitement is the CDBG program, Community Development Block Grant Program, is proposing a new program. I attended the public hearing a week ago today, and this is an opportunity to replace a municipal swimming pool with at least 50% of the money coming from the CDBG program. So, and it has a cap of $1 million. So it's right now the program is a 50-50. So that means if you get $1 million, you got to match it $1 million. But I truly believe, based on the public hearing input, that they may be considering modifying that 50-50 rule. They already have other programs that allow a 75-25. So you could do a $2 million pool. And folks, you don't get a whole lot for $2 million for a pool. It's a concrete pool.
Yeah, that's and it. It's water that you can swim in.
The big improvement that would be required with this would be a zero entrance into the pool, which would be huge in Caney. So we're going to take a look at it. It's got a very short time frame. The Caney Community Betterment Group was introduced to this concept last Thursday night. And, I mean, just get out of their way. They already have a running committee going, and there's room for other people if folks want to join into this, because it will take support of the citizens of Caney to get this done. We're going to talk about it tonight at the council chambers, and it'll be interesting. But this is an opportunity that you might be able to get a swimming pool for 50% or maybe even 25% of the cost. So this opportunity probably won't come around again.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And you had mentioned the zero entry as well, something that I'm sure the city could make a little bit of money off of, with people not just only in Caney but coming from Dewey or Sedan, or whether you had mentioned that 20 mile rule. I'm sure some people would come by just to get a quick swim in.
Sam, I've raised five children in Caney right by the swimming pool, and they can all swim like fish. It goes out to the instructors that have taught the swimming lessons, as well as having that pool available to be able to teach those. There's no telling how many lives of our children that pool has saved just by teaching them to swim. I'm probably one of the biggest advocates for a swimming pool to stay in Caney. And ours is getting pretty old, and it's got a lot of issues, but yeah, it's still there.
And as you had mentioned, Fred, $2 million sounds like a lot of money, but when it comes to property development and pools as well, it's an expensive feat. And just making sure that it's safe, functionable, and can be used in many different ways, whether it's lessons or just a public use, whatever it may be. It's
absolutely.
To get it at such a discounted price, may as well, might as well go right into it, heads forward with it. So again, that's city administrator and Mayor of City Thomas Burke and Fred Gress with us here this morning. Any final notes before we lose you?
One other item that might get things interesting in Caney, I don't know, is we have had a request from convenience stores to consider Sunday beer sales. So we'll see how far that goes.
We'll see how that discussion goes tonight. And again, you can get on that. That's what time and where is it at happening?
6:00, and it's at the City Council Chambers there at City Hall. You come in on the east side of the building. Come in, sit down, and you'll be given the opportunity to be part of the meeting.
Give your input. Exactly. Absolutely. So, again, City Administrator Fred Gress and Mayor Thomas Burke with us here on this Monday morning. Gentlemen, thanks so much, and you guys have a very good holiday.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much. It's Mighty 690 KGGF.